Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
You're listening to the Eric Ainge Show. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group, and they want you to know that their team has been going through this crazy uncertainty time that we're living in right now, and they're being diligent, and they want to be able to help anyone with any needs they have. So MIGonline.com, they're there to help you. Brian Rice on the other end of this deal. What's up, dude?
No, not much. You know, just making radio.
Another day, another dollar. So check this out. I got a couple things real quick. All right. Before we do game plan stuff, I need to update you about my day yesterday. So at my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house, the microwave was on the fritz and it took a dump and it doesn't work anymore. So after the radio, I swung by Lowe's and I went and got the right there in the front, the customer service line. I got the microwave and wiped it all down and wore a mask and all that kind of stuff. But in walking to the line, I probably was 5 feet away from a guy, not six, for a brief second. We're talking like maybe 2 seconds. And it triggered this mid-20s guy so bad that when he walked away after he was done, he said, 6 feet means 6 feet, bro. And apparently I have some pent-up frustration with all of the things going on in our lives, because that guy should not have said that to me in that moment. It didn't end well for him. I had a lot of choice words for him after that. But I got the microwave and I got it home and everything ended up being okay. And we caught 7 bass yesterday.
Yeah.
How about that? That's
good. Caught multiple times? You know, because you catch
and
release.
I can't confirm or deny that, but it looked like probably 7 different fish. I think so. And it's also my father-in-law's birthday, where I'm doing my show from, IHD. Yeah, so he originally wanted to go. It's Jamie. His name's Jamie Wilburn. He wanted to be Pap Dog, P-A-P-D-O-G-G, like Snoop Dogg. He wanted his
grandfather.
Yeah, he wanted his grandfather name to be Pap Dog. Because he stays ready, so he doesn't have to get ready. That got vetoed, obviously, into Pappy. But happy birthday to Jamie Wilburn.
I would just have gone Pap Dog, period.
If happy wife, happy life. If your daughter and your wife both veto it, then you just kind of you don't really have anything. There's nothing you can do about it. All the bumper music today is in his honor.
You can tell the kids that it's, you know, hey.
They're old enough now. They can make up their own decision. That's probably a good thing. Maybe I'll coerce them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's time. The kids are old enough, and it's just, you know. And then that'll be all Ramsey ever knows is Pap Dog.
I think it's got legs.
Well, it plays, and then it also, once you explain why, it can give kids a good perspective on the 90s rap game, which, you know, let's face it, is an important part of every child's upbringing.
It should be, anyway.
I mean, now rappers get together and have, like, you know, terse words on Instagram. Back in the day, the rap game was strong. You know, there wouldn't be passive-aggressive messages on Insta back in the 90s. Just say it.
No, you just straight disappear.
Yeah, let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
Well, Eric, the coronavirus has had one impact on college football. It has forced Nick Saban to actually get email.
How is this possible? How does he still not have email up until this point?
He said his wife got all of his email previously, and so he didn't have to do it. So Nick Saban now was getting a lot of email during the pandemic, and she got tired of it, and so she set it up for him.
Well, that's awesome. Good for her. She doesn't have to read his emails anymore and do all that. I bet that'll drive him crazy, having to check all those emails. You know, like Saban, does he still text in all caps?
Probably.
I mean, he's definitely, at one point at least, was an all caps texter, for sure.
Like Brady Hoke?
Yeah. Do you think he has any apps on his phone? Other than the Apple Watch, other than like the Apple One to check the players' quote unquote sleep habits.
The only apps that Nick Saban has on his phone are the ones that came with it.
I think that's fair.
So Twitter's on there because it comes on your phone, but I guarantee he's never opened it.
Yeah, no way.
That's okay. If you want to have an old curmudgeon head coach that doesn't like technology, Nick Saban's probably the best example of that. It's the most on brand for him of anybody. Jesse Smithy from 5starpreps.com scheduled to join us as usual at 9:30. Lady Vols have added a grad transfer. We'll tell you about the newest Lady Vols. She's from Liberty, looking to get out of Lynchburg, and having been there, I can understand that. So we'll tell you about her. Greg Sankey went on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. He had some interesting things to say about what his timeline is for getting back to playing, what he'll be looking for in order to get teams back to playing, and what he's been told by coaches on how long they need in football to get ready to come back. At 10:30, we'll be joined by University of Tennessee Athletics Director and Football Hall of Famer Philip Fulmer. He'll update us on
what
they're up to in the athletic department, getting navigating through this whole unprecedented time. By the way, we have to retire the phrase unprecedented times after this is over, so you better use it now.
You're the one that just said it.
Unprecedented times, uncertain times, all of that has to go away forever when this is over. We're making the rule now. Then at 11, we'll be joined by Scott Carter, Athletics Director at ETSU.
Yeah.
We'll have a different perspective, certainly, on what cancellations and everything have meant to a campus, and give us the update on everything that's happening at ETSU. We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Matt Rhule says Cam Newton being released is not about Cam. It's more about being excited about Teddy Bridgewater. Do you buy that at all?
Yeah, I mean, off the cuff, I do. I think Teddy Bridgewater played well for the Saints last year, and if you look back at his career, he's been pretty consistent when he's healthy. I think he's maybe not overachieved, maybe that's not the right word, but he's played at a pretty high level. He's pretty consistent. He takes care of the ball. Teddy Bridgewater is a winning NFL quarterback. He can win for you. I don't know that Joe Brady and what he wants to do, that's not necessarily what Cam does. You know, Teddy Bridgewater will be very versed in what Joe Brady wants to do because they're coming from the same, you know, they've been in the same meeting room and on the same team franchise for a while. So, you know, now they're, instead of being both in the Saints, now they're going to be in Carolina with the Panthers. But I think that's pretty accurate.
Al Michaels also had some interesting comments yesterday. He went on Mike Tirico's new coronavirus, everybody's stuck at home TV show, and had some interesting things to say that he can now say on the record that were part of an off the record conversation with Tom Brady back during the season, one of the production meetings. Very, very interesting look into what Tom Brady was thinking during last year. All that and more today on the Eric Haynes Show, and that's the game plan. It's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
42SD.com. Listen, if you own a business, and right now, yes, I get it, these are unprecedented times. These are uncertain times, to upset Brian Rice, but they are. And so everyone's at home. You know, if you're if you're an essential worker, you're still out and about and you're still doing your job and doing all that. And, you know, if you're a business that's not essential and you're just sitting at home, then this is the perfect time to make sure when you do get back to business that you're in shape digitally and your business is as well represented online as you think it should be. And honestly, most of us are not experts to know what that should be. So that's where Mike comes in at 42nd Street. Check out his website and all the stuff he does, 42SD.com.
The Eric Haines Show continues next. FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. All the bumps today are in honor of my father-in-law. Happy birthday, Jamie. And right now, before we get back into sports, let's go back to the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting as we have Adam Litton from News Talk 98.7 with our daily COVID-19 update in the state of Tennessee. What's up, Litton?
Morning, guys. Crippling information this morning are some staggering numbers from the government. More than 6.6 million Americans filed for initial unemployment claims last week, bringing that total in the past 3 weeks to 16.7 million claims of unemployment. So obviously, coronavirus impacting many across the country. Tennessee Department of Labor Workforce Development is updating their website to include the new PUA assistance application program, but it will extend and give more money based on those, the CARE Act, with the extra $600 becoming unemployment. But still, that's in a work in progress right now. Updating the coronavirus cases across the state, 4,300 COVID-19 cases in the state, 450 people hospitalized, 79 fatalities, almost 600 people already out of the hospital. Though locally in Knox County, 146 cases confirmed here. That's up from 126 yesterday. 19 hospitalizations, 4 fatalities, 77 cases have recovered here as well. Now, they've updated some of those models as well as about when the peak date might be for the country. They're now looking like it could be Easter on Sunday when we finally hit that peak in the state and coming back down to these numbers. But, of course, still a model, still can change, and all very dependent on your actions and social distancing. As some local cases reported at the South Station Post Office in Knoxville, worker there testing positive for COVID-19. Also, the Lowe's in Clinton Highway testing positive there. That was back March 31st, last time they worked, though, and employees who may have had contact there in the Lowe's have been on paid leave since. And again, both those following CDC guidelines as far as cleaning, so they're not expecting any major outbreaks or anything from it. A Blount County man hoping that the suffering he went through of having COVID-19 can now help somebody else. He's wanting to donate plasma, which can help people who are suffering from the virus. Medic Regional Blood Center working on getting that implemented, saying there's still work in progress getting it done, but you'd have to be symptom-free 28 days before you could donate so it doesn't cause any issues in their actual clinic. Also, a new report shows, as far as social distancing goes, we're doing okay. Tennesseans got a C in the last report. This is from Unicast, uses cell phone data to track the mobility of people across the state. Very specific data, too. They can tell whether you're inside versus outside, even if you're on a different floor from somebody and you're following those social distancing guidelines. A C for the state basically means we've reduced travel by 50% across the state, breaking down county by county. Sevier County actually got the best grade of a B. Knox County got a B-. Worst spots for East Tennessee, Jefferson, Greene, and Marion counties picking up an F in that score.
You know they're tracking the cell phones, but still it doesn't make it any less jarring that they're breaking down things like that. Whether you've been in, you're on the move, you're in a house, you're in a place with somebody else, it's still a little unsettling.
It's interesting. This is the same data source that the governor used to actually institute his stay-at-home order. At that time, we were getting a D or D-minus in this metric, and so we have improved. There's still a lot of work to be done. Again, essential travel, remember that, as you're staying at home today.
All right, Adam, we appreciate it. Thanks, talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
I mean, they're looking at that all the time.
Yeah, people.
They're always looking, watching.
It's just unsettling to have it actually used in a, like, the governor. I was with Mayor Jacobs on this. Having a problem with them using that to make orders is, I don't know. It's a little unsettling at best. Also unsettling is that Nick Saban is finally using modern technology.
I mean, look at what could happen with Alabama and their football program now that Nick Saban is getting with the times. I mean, they've been this good, and he doesn't have email.
Yeah. In an Instagram Live interview with Maria Taylor yesterday, said the one positive is he has an email. Quote, they were sending them all to Miss Terry, all right? She fired me and said, I'm not dealing with your stuff anymore, so I had to do it on my own, unquote.
It's time for him to fly.
Gotta fly now.
It's time for him to fly on his own and check his own emails. From a guy that gets hundreds of emails every day, mm-hmm. checking emails is nauseating. It's nauseating. I am not a big fan of the tremendous amount of emails that get sent out to people all day long. Nick Saban, I guarantee, is going to have somebody filter his emails. Like, Miss Terry may not want to do it. There's an analyst on that staff when this COVID-19 stuff is over that will get the tremendous job of being Nick Saban's email guy.
Maybe that's what Butch Jones is going to do when he gets promoted to senior analyst this year.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, he could do that.
He's Butch's Saban's email guy now. I wouldn't appoint him to that.
From intern to email guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does. He did reveal that he does FaceTime recruits. How close to his face do you think Nick Saban holds the phone for FaceTime?
Well, I'm going to go with he probably holds it the right way. The Pruitt FaceTime angle was like, I mean, that was all time terrible. Can we agree on that?
It did not do his chins any favors.
Well, I mean, it's like anything. When you see someone take a selfie, they never do it down low. They always hold the phone up because when it's up looking down, that's a better angle. The under the face angle is, I mean, I don't care how skinny you are, that nobody looks good on that angle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
But so I mean, they're all doing all those things. I mean, nothing's going to change. That's a fun kind of storyline to have during all this stuff that we have going on. Wow, Nick Saban's gotten this far in life. I mean, he's like in his late 60s, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, late 60s, and he doesn't have email. Now he does. You know, for the time being, he'll have to check it while he's at home. Or he'll have to give the login to whoever that email guy is going to be on staff, and they can quarantine in their own home and check his emails. I give it a week tops. He's going to get so many emails, and you know how he talks to the reporters when they ask dumb questions, and he just looks at them and says, "That's a really stupid question." And he just tells them how dumb they are. Like, can you imagine the email response that he'll probably have a written out auto response for emails that he doesn't think should have been sent to him that are not of the utmost priority, where it's just like, you're an idiot. Why would you send me that? I just wasted 37 seconds of my day reading this stupid email that I didn't need to have. I mean, I'll give it a week tops.
Do you can you imagine what would happen if random fans found out what his email address was?
Oh man.
Can you imagine that needs to be a thread on Twitter. Fan emails to Nick Saban. What they would say, what incredible things they would tell him. I mean, I can't even imagine. I've heard some of the stories about the things that people just tell Nick Saban when they're getting his autograph, and you'd be called a jerk, but if I was Nick Saban, I would make the rule for autograph sessions, hey, the fans at Alabama can't talk to me while I'm signing autographs. They can either get an autograph or they can speak to me, but not both.
And definitely no eye contact.
No eye contact. No eye contact at all. Because it just, yeah. I mean, he would be seen as a jerk, and we would probably make fun of him on this show, but I would totally, totally get it, because I've seen them and heard some of the cringeworthy things they've said.
Again, I give it a week tops before he's no longer checking his own emails again.
Jesse Smithy, 5starpreps.com, checks his emails. We'll check in with him next on the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal.
Happy birthday, Jamie Wilburn. This one goes out to you. You're listening to the Eric Haines Show on Sports Animal. Got a bunch of fun stuff coming up. We got Philip Fulmer at 10:30, ETSU Athletic Director Scott Carter at 11. And right now we go to the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline to welcome in Jesse Smithy from 5-Star Preps, his appearance made possible by Henley Roofing Company. Smithy, how you hanging, dude?
I ain't doing well, man. How are y'all hanging in there?
You know.
Making it.
Yeah.
Wore the 5starpreps.com shirt to walk through the neighborhood the other day, so I think I got you a new subscriber from a guy at the end of the street. So.
Awesome, man.
So the T-shirt paid off.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we still got people signing up on the site, and that's encouraging to us. So I appreciate anybody out there who's wearing a T-shirt or rocking one of our stickers or hats or whatever.
You guys had a story up at 5starpreps.com. Dave Link did it on Lucas Cook. He's the guy from Hardin Valley who signed to play for South Carolina but was looking at the Major League Baseball draft. Now that draft may only be five rounds or so. That part's unclear. His decision-making process is very interesting, and it's very different than in a lot of years. And he's one of those guys that's caught up in the intersection of what the draft is going to look like and seniors and other guys at a program like South Carolina coming back or juniors coming back because it'll be a shorter draft.
Right, and he's one of many that we've kind of thought about and caught up with, and started with Ryan Hagenow, the pitcher out at Farragut, who is going to be one of those SEC guys who's monitoring the draft. And Lucas Cook has always been kind of an SEC caliber baseball player the last two or three years here in town. So he's definitely got next level talent and could possibly go in the draft. And so we caught up with Lucas and kind of see where his mind's at and what he's doing and what he might be hearing. And it's always ever changing, it seems. We could write that Lucas Cook story in 2 weeks down the line, and it could be a totally different thing. So, but we went ahead and caught up with him, and just to kind of see what he's thinking and what he might be hearing from maybe major leagues or from college. And so, it was nice to him to kind of pull the veil back a little bit on the process and let us see what it's like.
It's interesting to follow those guys and what they're doing and what they're looking at. I know
my question for both of you guys is, realistically, what is the impact going to be? Like, what's going to end up happening to all the – are more kids going to come back to college? Are they going to just forego and just say, screw it, and go give it a try? I mean, like, do you have any idea what the actual takeaway will be from all this?
I think one of the things you might see if there's a smaller number of players drafted, I think you see some of these high school players that oftentimes maybe take a little bit of money and go pro. Maybe you see them end up in the college ranks a little bit more. I don't know, just kind of educated guessing right there. But it's still kind of a little bit of uncertainty. I don't know, Brian, what do you think?
Well, I think it's tough to see all the impact. I think baseball is probably the sport that's going to be impacted most by this whole situation, both because they're going to get it from both ends. You have players that now are allowed to come back that are seniors. You're going to have some juniors that would have been drafted that now won't be drafted. You're going to have some high school players that would have been drafted that won't be drafted. And as far as trying to go into the pros and just make it despite not being drafted, both in college and from high school players, there aren't going to be the spots necessarily on the minor league teams for them to even compete for. So I think baseball is the sport that this whole thing impacts more than anybody, because they're getting it from both ends, from college and from Major League Baseball. And that's unfortunate for big time prospects, but it's something they're going to have to deal with, unfortunately.
Yeah, for some of these guys that would take that money, if they got drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, that's usually what is around early June. And so you sign your contract and you report to low A ball or wherever they send you a couple weeks later maybe, or maybe in July. And if that baseball is not even available for you to start your development, why would you go pro? And so it's, like I said, with the dwindling spots, with the uncertainty with when baseball might start again, you see some of these guys end up in college a little bit more often, I think.
Yeah,
player perspective.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting story to follow with the local, because there are a couple local players that applies to, and then just all across the country. You're getting into to the start of when we would have had spring practice for high school football. as they're out of season, how long do you think it can go before there'll be some sort of rule clarification on how high school football teams are going to be able to at least communicate? Because as I understand it right now, even communication is considered practice and they're not allowed to do it.
Right. I mean, in terms of gathering up the troops, so to speak, and doing a big Zoom meeting, say for an out of season sport, it's kind of frowned upon now. You can check in on guys and things like that, but I think we're going to know something in the next week. Having talked with Jody Wright, board of control member, who's also athletic director and basketball coach at Fulton, did a podcast with him about a week ago, and invite everybody to check that out. But we talked with him and just to try to get an idea of when we might get an update on the state tournaments for basketball or for spring fling, or we even talked about football and what the ramifications of this could be. Would we have a shortened season? When would we start practice? And I think we're going to start to know a little bit more here in the coming weeks. And I'd be shocked if we had the extent of normal preparation that we typically enjoy in terms of football. I mean, they can have 7-on-7 in June, and then there's, of course, the dead period, and they come back and more 7-on-7. And I just think all that's going to be reduced in a smaller capacity. But again, that's just all kind of dependent on an August start. And if they're going to try to have an August start, but if that gets pushed back, then maybe you can slide the normal preparation schedule down a little bit into the calendar and make it all work. So the coming weeks, the next week or two, I think it's going to tell us a lot.
Talking to Jesse Smithy, 5-star preps, 5starpreps.com. His appearance brought to you by Henley Roofing. Once that happens, how are coaches going to approach it? How are coaches going to approach, particularly coaches that are coming up with a new starting quarterback, how are they going to approach trying to do some of that instruction and try to get things put in like colleges have been trying to do?
Oh, they will be sorely mistaken if they think they are going to have a freshman quarterback, any high school quarterback that's never been the quarterback before with no spring practice and changed or limited amount of summertime sessions and or practice time. Man, I mean, we talked about the impact on college football. It's even magnified at the high school level because there's so much fewer experienced players on the high school level. So, man, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah, I mean, if they get limited preparation time and then they still try to start the season even remotely close to when they normally do, Eric's right. I mean, you're going to have to really try to find a makeshift quarterback and
trial by fire for everybody.
Yeah. Reduce the playbook size down to just kind of bare bones and what the basics are and what you can feel comfortable running. And so there's no blueprint for this. It's going to be a slow build back into sports. I mean, just think about it from a society standpoint of, okay, they flip the switch back on for sports. Are people just going to be comfortable sitting shoulder to shoulder in a stadium again? I mean, it's just, this whole thing's just going to create a really odd start to normalcy again. So whether it's fans or whether it's coaches, whether it's players, this is just all going to be one big abnormal return back to normalcy whenever, again, that switch is flipped and we start getting things back on going again.
I'll tell you one thing, the high school football programs that run their peewee programs, their youth football programs, just like the varsity, like Maryville does and like Alcoa does, and I mean, there's a lot of great examples of it. Those teams that have kids on their team that have been doing and hearing the way things are done and talked about since they were kids, I think those programs will be in significantly better shape than the ones that don't do it that way.
No, I mean, totally agree, but that's the case. They have that advantage over other programs even when this isn't happening. So there's still a little bit of a learning curve, though, for some of those programs like Alcoa and Maryville. When those quarterbacks do get up to high school, it gets a little bit more difficult. But it's still, like you said, it does give them a little bit of an advantage.
Jesse, what do you guys have coming up at 5starpreps.com?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but we had our buddy Chad Field, who is the Vol uniform guy on Twitter. We had him reimagine and kind of redesign uniform ideas, and so he did that for the four teams that made it to the state championships and back in December 2019. And so that's Alcoa and Maryville and Central and Greenback. So it's a really kind of cool feature that we rolled out on 5-Star Preps this week. We're also catching up with Deshaun Page, a 2018 Mr. Football winner who's down at East Mississippi and getting Division I offers. So we're catching up with him and kind of seeing what his timeline looks like as a return to the field, and also when he might commit and when he could get into possibly Power 5 college football. So that's one of the stories we're working on. We're working on the ripple effect of this COVID-19 and how it's stalled a lot of AAU ball and maybe even ruining kids' chances of getting those scholarship offers. This is a big period of their development when college coaches can see them. So that's just a few of the stories we're working on, and we've got a lot more to come this week on the site.
Jesse, we always appreciate your time each Thursday. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Encourage everybody to check out 5starpreps.com.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
See you, dude.
It's Jesse Smithy, 5starpreps.com. His appearance brought to you each week by Henley Roofing.
HenleyRoofing.net, for over 57 years, they have been the go-to commercial roofing company in East Tennessee. No matter how big or small the commercial project, new, roof, re-roof, doesn't matter. They're the best. They're the goats. HenleyRoofing.net.
The Eric Haines Show rolls on next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
I got some good news for you, Brian.
What's that?
2 weeks from today, the NFL draft is happening.
Yeah, we'll have something real to talk about and break down for multiple days. I'm very excited.
I cannot wait for that.
I don't like the NFL draft. I never like it. It's never on my radar. You know, you end up watching part of it, but hey, this year, I am all in on it. Give me every bit of it.
Well, I mean, this year, the SEC always dominates the first round, the entire draft, honestly. But I think half the first round are going to come out of the Southeastern Conference. Half, at least. Maybe more. Who knows? And there's going to be a ton of defensive players, like we talked about the other day, from the SEC in the first round. They're going to dominate the first round and all seven rounds like normal. And, but 2 weeks from today, NFL draft.
That's big. The Lady Vols pick up a grad transfer. Kean Green will be a grad transfer from Liberty University, is committed to Tennessee, will likely provide immediate help for the Lady Vols. She was the Big South Conference player of the year as a sophomore 2 years ago. Last year sat out the season with an ankle surgery, but came back this year to lead Liberty once again. This year, led the team in rebounding and blocked shots, so she will be a huge, huge pickup for Tennessee next year. She selected Tennessee as a grad transfer over offers from Notre Dame, Kentucky, and Maryland.
Nice.
So when those programs want you and you pick Tennessee, that's a good indication of how good of a player Green is, so the Lady Vols will pick her up. Interestingly enough, she is the second grad transfer with the last name Green to be signed by the Lady Vols in the last few years. Sheridan Green was a key contributor for Tennessee 3 seasons ago.
I'm interested when we have Coach Fulmer on at 10:30. I'm going to ask him right off the bat what he thinks of how Kelly Harper did in his first year. You know, because, I mean, Coach Fulmer's hired, what, two coaches? Is that right? Pruitt and Kelly Harper.
Yeah,
everyone else was already here.
Well, they had just made the hire of the volleyball coach Eve Rackham when Phil Cooper took over. It was in process when that happened.
So I mean, I'm curious what he thinks about how she did. You know, they were taking some heat on the recruiting trail, that I know, for, you know, when the girls were leaving, and it's happened two in a week,
yeah.
A week ago, week or two ago. I mean, good for them getting the grad transfer. Good for both. basketball programs, the men and the women's team at Tennessee, getting a grad transfer that can play immediately and brings a skill set and certain toughness to your program. I mean, that getting Anasicki and getting Green to come in, that's big time. You got, I mean, those grad transfers for basketball are huge because there's no substitute for experience. And if you have some, even if it's at Liberty and what conference is that?
The Big South.
Even if it's coming out of the Big South from Liberty, I don't think the stage will be too big. I'm sure she's played in some big arenas and she's a vet, you know, she's experienced. That's important.
Yeah. And 2 years ago, before her injury, was conference player of the year. Anybody who's a conference player of the year at a lower level conference can be competitive in a major conference from my experience. So she's going to come in and offer immediate help. That's the other thing, is it addresses an immediate need, much like Anasicki does for the men's team. So that's what you have to have in grad transfers. If you're going to get somebody as a grad transfer, they need to address an immediate need, and she definitely does that for Tennessee. A little bit of skill in the front court. She can also handle the ball a little bit, I'm not saying she's going to be Tennessee's point guard by any stretch of the imagination, but has the ball handling skills to contribute at guard if needed with the departure of two guards recently. I don't think Tennessee's done either on the transfer wire or the grad transfer wire to try to replace the players that they lost, but this is a good pickup and a good start for Tennessee. It
doesn't matter if she's a full-time point guard. If she can handle the basketball, look at our men's team this past year. You have your point guard go down, and then it's whoever can do it the best that day is who's bringing the ball up. You know, Viscovi obviously handled a majority of that, but when he couldn't play, Josiah Jordan James was doing it, even Bowden at times. You know, I personally subscribe to the Celtics way that they do it, and that is, if you get the ball, Brad Stevens wants you dribble pushing it. Get it and go. Don't do the wait, you know, hold, like Fulkerson gets the ball and he'll just wait until he can almost hand it to somebody to dribble it up the court. Like, get it and go. Don't make it any harder than it needs to be. So if you have, the more people you have that can handle the basketball, the better. So good for the Lady Vols getting a guard that can handle the basketball. And regardless of what she's listed as, you know, she'll end up bringing the ball up the court a bunch.
Yeah. As a four, they look forward to contribute it forward, but yeah, with the need for guards, if they deploy a smaller lineup,
she's a good rebounder. If she gets the board, she can take off and push the ball up the court, get some easy buckets.
Has played at Tennessee once before. She was a part of their team in 2018 when they came here for an NCAA tournament first round game. Was 4 of 4 from the field, 10 points and 2 rebounds in the 100-60 loss to Tennessee in the NCAA first round. So big pickup for Tennessee there. And Kelly Harper continues to try to build a team kind of in her image coming up. And much like Rick Barnes has, try to find those pieces that can help complement some of the big names that you're counting on. But a good, after having the story of departures last week, for Harper to pick up a grad transfer at this point. 6-5, 6-9.
And over those teams, too. I mean, that's the most important part of that. I mean, Maryland wanted her. Kentucky wanted her. Notre Dame wanted her. I mean, those are all top 10, 15 women's basketball programs that you won her over. So that's good.
Yeah, you want to be competing with those teams on the recruiting trail. And even though this is just for a one-year player, it is very helpful to win one of those battles, including one over one of your conference opponents in Kentucky, who never misses an opportunity to turn that knife a little bit when they have a player from the Chattanooga area, Ryan Howard, who's one of their best, or probably their best player, and another one of those that tries to drive the narrative of, well, late bloomer, but Tennessee should have been on her from the start. Well, she's turned into their best player, and they use that opportunity to twist the knife a little bit every time. So you win one of those battles, Tennessee's got to keep winning recruiting battles, and I think they will, but this is a good opening salvo in that. Coming up in hour number two of the Eric Haines Show, we will be joined at 10:30 by Tennessee Athletics Director Philip Fulber. Scott Carter from ETSU joins us at 11 On the other side, Greg Sankey on his timelines for returning to play, what it's going to look like, and some of the guidance he has given and received from the NCAA and beyond as they look for to answer that big question, when can everything start again? We'll have that and more coming up as the Eric Haines Show rolls on next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.